The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
All right, before I start this, and I swear this is going to be shorter, so I was really inspired to watch the homeschool, the graduates go through. I've experienced a lot of students. I've been a professor at a secular university, been a professor at a Christian university, worked with a lot of students over the years. And I'm telling you, graduates who are still here listening, you're the hope for the future. I mean, honestly, the only people who can get it done is you, because most of your fellow students, if you can't do it with your thumbs, they can't do it. So our hope for a good future lies in the homeschoolers, and I really believe that. And I just, no pressure, but I really hope that you take seriously the Lord's leading on your life, because in the end, you are our hope. All right, and that's one reason I advocate homeschooling, because I know that our future leaders, if they come from the rank and file, we're not going to have a very good future. This is Homeschooling, Discovering How and Why It Works. And like all my other talks, if you're interested in the statistics and the quotes that I give, you can go to my website, drwile.com, click on my name, click on handouts, and get the handouts for this talk and all the others, and like me on Facebook and all that good stuff. Now, I've talked a lot about homeschooling and how it works really well. For example, according to all the studies I see, the average homeschooled student is significantly better educated than his or her peers. Also, studies show that the average homeschooled adult is better socialized than his or her peers. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Homeschool graduates do very well at university, and that's always a good thing. And homeschool graduates are actively involved in their communities. So homeschooling works as a way of preparing students to be productive members of society. And if you want to look at academically, for example, the Fraser Institute did a major study of education in Canada. The study starts out this way, quote, many studies, Canadian, American, and international, have found that homeschooled students outperform students in both public and independent private schools. And that's really true. This is a global phenomenon. It's not just something that's U.S. and Canada. It's all over the place. The largest study in Canada, for example, found that homeschooled students score in the 70th and 80th percentile on all of the academic subjects. So in the end, homeschooled students are academically superior to most of their peers. Home-based education in Canada says this, quote, in a 2003 study of more than 1,600 Canadian homeschoolers, researchers found that students perform above the Canadian norm for their levels. Claudia Rebanks Hatburn, who's a Canadian education researcher, says, quote, several studies have found that home education may help eliminate the potential negative effect of certain socioeconomic factors. For example, one study found that students taught at home by mothers who never finished high school scored a full 55 percentile points higher than public school students from families with comparable education levels. We all know that in schooling, the more educated your parents are, the better you do in school. So having parents with a low education level tends to limit how far you go. That's true if you're going to school. That's not true for homeschools. In homeschools, even parents without a high education level produce very well-educated homeschool graduates. We know this. This is probably my favorite study on homeschooling. It comes from the U.S., but it was performed by an education researcher who called homeschoolers, quote, conservative nuts, end quote. And he was an education researcher. He was head of a particular education research clearinghouse. And he saw all sorts of studies coming in to his clearinghouse saying that homeschool students are better than everybody else. And he said, all of these studies are methodologically flawed. And if you give me the funds, I will produce a study that shows once and for all that homeschooled students do worse. And so the Homeschool Legal Defense Association said, we'll fund that study. And so in the end, even though Rudner, the author of the study, wanted to show that homeschooled students do worse, his study showed exactly the opposite. So he used something called the DSS scale, which is a standardized scale for how educated a student is. It doesn't have a grade level. It's just the higher you score on this scale, the better educated you are. He gave it for kids from grade 1 all the way to grade 12. And on average, the publicly schooled students did the worst, the privately schooled students did better, and the homeschooled students did the best. And there's a couple things, if you're used to looking at graphs, and you may not be used to it, but if you're used to looking at graphs, there are two really important things to look at. First of all, look at the homeschool and privately schooled lines, so the red and the pink lines. If you kind of just average out the wiggles in your mind, and you don't think of them as wiggling, but think of them as smooth as they can be, you should see that those two lines don't really get farther from each other. The homeschoolers start with an advantage and keep that advantage. The privately schooled students never catch up, but they never fall farther behind. But compare either one of those lines to the publicly schooled line. The older the students get, the worse the public school students do compared to the private and homeschooled students. This tells you the most important time to homeschool is when the student is older. That's why these homeschool graduates are so important, because in the end, students lose more by going to school when they're older. Don't think you're going to homeschool your children for the first few years and then send them off to school where they really learn. The data, and there are lots of data that show this, show that we lose ground in high school if we send kids back to high school. And this makes total sense because the older they are, the more likely they are to be distracted. And in a school setting, there's plenty of distractions. So in the end, keep them at home even when they're old. Public and private and homeschoolers, they never really get bigger or get very different from each other. But the publicly schooled students lose ground. Here's the most important thing. It gets better the longer you homeschool. This is from the same study. The researcher tracked students who were always homeschooled, and that's the pink line, with students who were only partially homeschooled. Homeschooled for a while and then sent to school. Once again, notice that for the early grades, there's not such a big deal. But after about grade 5, you send them back to school, they continually lose ground. So in the end, the more you homeschool, the better it is for the student. And like I said, this study was from somebody who wanted to show that homeschoolers aren't better educated. But in fact, his study showed just the opposite. They are. And when you go to university, homeschoolers do really well. So for example, at Boston University, they tracked their homeschool, their student population over many, many years. Their homeschool graduates had a GPA of 3.3 compared to 2.9 for everybody else. So the homeschoolers were almost half a letter grade above everybody else. Baylor University, roughly the same thing, 3.36 compared to 3.04. At the University of Toronto, they didn't do an average, they just did a range. But the homeschoolers went from 2.74 to 3.96. The average was 2.20. So in the end, homeschoolers do really well. Now you might think, well, all of these universities, they have admissions requirements, right? So maybe they're just focusing their admission requirements so that the homeschoolers do better. They're requiring more of homeschoolers who get in, so the homeschoolers do better. However, we can do these studies at schools that don't have any admissions requirements. For example, York Technical College is a college in the U.S. where if the check clears, you're a student. And that's all it takes. And I'm not making fun. That's an important part. That's an important niche for education to fill. But even in that situation where there's no admission requirements, on average, homeschoolers do better than everybody else. So in the end, homeschooling produces better students. You might wonder why. Well, Jonathan Ryder, who was an admissions officer for Stanford University for many, many years, says this, quote, "The distinguishing factor is intellectual vitality. Homeschool kids have it, and everything they do is responding to it." And I can absolutely agree with that. As a university professor who has experienced all strata of students, I can tell you one of the big differences is homeschoolers have intellectual vitality. They still want to learn. And that's one of the most important factors for lifelong learning. You have to want to do it. So why is this? Why is it that studies all show that homeschoolers excel academically? Well, I'm not sure I can give you all of the reasons, but I can give you a couple really important ones. Probably the most important, the love of learning is not socialized out of them. That's what most schools do. Most schools socialize the love of learning out of you. I don't know if you remember your time in school. When I was in school, I was a good student. I did what my teachers told me, and my peer group rewarded me by putting me at the bottom of the social ladder, calling me a nerd, and all that kind of stuff. That's what school does. It socializes you against learning. As home-based education in Canada says, public schools are great places of business of salaried teachers, unions, administrators, janitors, bus drivers, textbook corporations, cafeteria workers, etc., but no place for bright, curious children. And in general, I agree with that. All right. Also, learning is by far more productive if you can tailor the curriculum to the student. If you study the kind of curriculum the Canadian homeschoolers use, according to Home Education in Canada, quote, about half utilize an eclectic mix of various traditional textbooks and workbooks. Another 17% use a comprehensive textbook approach, while the rest, most of them, report following a more child-initiated approach. So in the end, you can tailor the education to the child. That makes it a more effective education. You can't beat the teacher-to-student ratio. Even if in the largest homeschool families, the teacher-to-student ratio isn't the kind of stuff you find in most schools, right? Homeschooling teaches independent learning. Students learn how to learn on their own so that it doesn't matter how bad their professors are, doesn't matter how bad their company's training program is, they can learn what they need to learn. And homeschooling parents impart by example how important learning is. Because it's one thing for you to tell your child, you need to learn. Now go to school and learn. It's another thing to say, you need to learn. So I'm going to sacrifice my time, my energy, and an income in order to stay home and teach you. In the end, that's the example that really shows education is important. When a parent takes education enough seriously to sacrifice for it, the kids recognize how important education is. So those are, I think, some of the principal reasons. But there's one other one I would like to explore. This is one of the most interesting studies I've ever read. It's from the 50s, so it's very old. Dr. Harold McCurdy is a psychiatrist, actually. And he was interested in what makes someone a genius. Because obviously, if you're going to be a genius, you've got to have some natural talent. But is there more to it than that? Is there something that promotes being a genius? So he decided to look through history and find as many geniuses as he could that had really good documentation for their lives, really good biographies and things like that. And he found 20 people like Blaise Pascal, probably the most important scientist of his time, who were certified geniuses, and they had very, very good biographical information. He read all about their childhoods to try and find out, are there any commonalities that you can see among all 20 of these kids' childhoods? And he found three. And as I share these three commonalities with you, ask yourself, does this remind you of anything? So, commonality number one, their education was the result of a high degree of attention focused on the child by parents and other adults, expressed in intensive educational measures and usually abundant love. Their primary mode of education was parents and relatives, not schools. Number two, isolation from other children, especially children outside the family. So keep the peer group to a minimum. And number three, a large amount of imaginative play. Not a lot of technological distractions, just a large amount of imaginative play. Now think about those three characteristics. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like homeschooling. And that tends to promote geniuses, at least according to Dr. McCurdy. And he says something very interesting towards the end of this study. He says this, quote, "It might be remarked that the mass education of our public school system is, in its way, a vast experiment on the effect of reducing all three of the above factors to minimal values and should accordingly tend to suppress the occurrence of genius," end quote. And I agree with that as well. That in the end, mass education suppresses genius because genius is fostered, especially by number one, intensive educational measures expressed in abundant love. That's what promotes good education and good genius. And I think homeschooling does that the best. And I think mass schooling does that the worst. So that's just one other thing I would add to the idea that homeschool, for one reason, that homeschoolers excel. All right? But what about socialization? You know, if I'm isolating my student or at least reducing the peer group quite a bit, how am I going to socialize the child? Well, once again, when we look at studies, we find that homeschoolers are better socialized than everybody else. So a nationwide study of home education in Canada says this, quote, "Home-educated children are involved in a wide variety of activities with peers and adults outside of their home. For example, 60% are involved in group sports, 82% in Sunday school, 48% in music classes, 45% even take classes with other children outside the home." So there's a lot of socialization going on. On average, home-educated children spend 12 hours per week with non-sibling children. So there is at least some interaction with children that aren't siblings. So there's some good socialization there. Claudia Rebanks Hepburn, who I quoted before, she says, quote, "Popular belief holds that homeschooled children are socially backwards and deprived, but research shows the opposite, that homeschooled children are actually better socialized than their peers." And in general, that's true. For example, Dr. Gary Knowles at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, he studied Michigan adults who had been homeschooled. At the time of the study, none of them were unemployed and none were on welfare. At the time of the study, the unemployment rate in Michigan was about 9%, and about 11% were on some form of welfare, 11% of the population, but none of the homeschooled adults. 94% of the homeschooled adults said that homeschool helped prepare them to be independent persons, and 79% said that it helped them to interact with those from other levels of society. So from a socialization point, homeschoolers do really well. Deanie Van Pelt did a long-term study of 1,600 Canadian homeschool families. Her data indicate that if you look at homeschooled students' satisfaction of life score, that the homeschooled students score significantly higher than the students from government peers. In general, homeschooled students are more satisfied with their life than those from public and private schools. The Fraser Institute says this, quote, "The average Canadian homeschool student is regularly involved in 8 social activities outside the home. Canadian homeschooled children watch less television than other children." That's gotta be a good thing. And they show significantly fewer problems than public school children when observed in free play. Here's a couple of statistics from homeschool graduates who are now adults. If I look at their civic participation, so all the way on the left, what percentage of adults are involved in political activities. The yellow is the rest of the population. The orange is the homeschooled adults. You see, the homeschooled adults are more likely to be involved in politics, more likely to be involved in sports, more likely involved to be in cultural activities, more likely to be involved in religious activities, and more likely to be involved in the other ones that weren't categorized. And nowhere except in union participation were they lower than the rest of the population. So homeschool adults are very active in what we consider to be community and social events. This is a rough graph to look at. I don't like the way it's presented, but I didn't make this graph. I just copied it. So if we look at just the first four things, very, somewhat, not very, and not much at all, those are the adult's response to the question, how important are your religious beliefs? So they could be very important, somewhat important, not very important, or not at all important. The yellow bars are the homeschool adults. The other bars are the rest of the population. Notice that the homeschool adults are significantly more likely to consider religion to be very important and significantly less likely to believe that it's not at all important. Then the rest of the bars are, how often do you attend religious services? Weekly, monthly, occasionally, yearly, never. Once again, notice this, the homeschool adults are significantly likely to go to religious services weekly. So homeschool adults are significantly more likely to put the emphasis where it should be, on their faith. And that's one thing every parent should want of their children. From homeschooling in Canada again, overall, very few home educated graduates would have preferred a different education, and most of them are happier and more satisfied with their work in life than similarly aged Canadians and even indeed young citizens of other countries. So in the end, homeschool graduates in Canada are very happy with their life. And the big one from a political standpoint, quote, none of our respondents were primarily supported by government payouts, whereas 11% of the comparable population did receive such payments. So in the end, homeschooled people, just like Gary Knowles found, very unlikely to be on the public dole, whereas a good fraction of the population is. So in the end, homeschooling produces responsible adults who are very, very well socialized. Why is that? Why is it that homeschoolers are so well socialized? Well, one thing is they are forced, let's face it, quite sometimes against their will, but they are forced to interact with multiple age groups regularly. You know, when your playmates are your siblings, you're forced to interact with people of different ages. When you go to homeschool co-ops and get-togethers and so forth, once again, you're working with different ages of people. That makes for a better social experience. In most schools, you're cloistered away with people your own age all day. And that's not a very realistic social setting to be in. They avoid the negative role models that you find in school, and you find a lot of negative role models in school. They're supervised much more closely because there's one parent and only a handful of children rather than one teacher and 30 children, right? They're taught morals. That's really important. And their role models demonstrate sacrificial love on a daily basis. In the end, when a homeschooled student looks at the kind of sacrifice a parent gives in order to homeschool, that doesn't go unnoticed. And the students realize their parents are sacrificing for them because they love them, because they want to give them the best education possible. So when I look at homeschooling, the data clearly say it works. And the reason it works is because it's given by the people who love the children as much as possible. For those of you who haven't heard me talk before, my only child is one I adopted when she was 15. My wife and I adopted her when she was 15. So I wasn't a parent for a long time. But there are a few things I noticed when I was a parent. And one of the big ones was there were things I would demand of my daughter that I wouldn't demand of any of my friends' children. right? So when my daughter put on something that I didn't think was appropriate, I wouldn't let her leave the house until she changed into something more appropriate, right? If one of her friends comes over wearing something inappropriate, I'm not going to call her friend out for that. That's too much work. And that friend is not my kid, right? I will always do more for my kid, and I will always hold my kid to a higher standard than I hold any of her friends to. Because that's hard work, and I'm only going to do that for my child. When you send your child to even the best school in the world, the best you can hope for is that your child's teacher will hold your child to the same standard that the teacher holds her friend's children to. The teacher will never hold your child to the same standards she holds her own children to. That's too hard. When you're the teacher, you can guarantee you're holding your child to the highest of standards. And that's going to produce not only the best education, but overall, the best adult. That's really why homeschooling works.